Get your Bibles out real quick. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter 6. I told you this morning, the title of tonight's sermon is this, Victories. Victories. Joshua chapter 6, and we are going to look at a victory to get us started. Joshua chapter 6, and once you find chapter 6, find verse number 2, then please stand with me if you would. We'll do that out of reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. Joshua chapter 6, starting with verse number 2, and the Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." Now, drop all the way down to verse 20 of the same chapter, and the Bible says this, "So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Let me say a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Father, we need you tonight. We've had a busy day. There are folks that are awful weary. It's a good weary from serving you. But Father, give us alertness tonight. Help us, Lord, that we would catch a glimpse of what you want of us. Thank you. Thank you for victory in the Christian life. Help us to be energized tonight. Help us to be motivated tonight. Help us to be challenged tonight. Help someone, maybe as a result of the sermon, to be able to reach inside themselves and grab the energy that's necessary to have a victorious week in their Christian life. Now, Father, please help the interruptions to be very minimal. Help me, Father, to concentrate on the sermon, to deliver it in such a way that you would be pleased and that you would be glorified. Bless us now with thy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. The story that I just read to you is the famous story of the Battle of Jericho. Now, the city of Jericho was surrounded by Joshua and the children of Israel, and nobody could get in, and nobody could go out. This was a great city, but it was surrounded by a wall that protected it. God gave Joshua and his people some very specific instructions about conquering that city and bringing that wall down. And he promised them a great victory. The wall, you see, hindered a victory for God's people. But God wanted Joshua to have a great victory. And may I say to you, the same God that was the God of Joshua is your God. And God wants you to have a victory. I don't know what wall tends to hinder the victories in your life, but I want to promise you something. If God can help Joshua to have a victory with the Battle of Jericho and the wall can come tumbling down for him, that wall that hinders you can come tumbling down for you, and you too can have victory. Now, God's instructions to Joshua were very clear. For 6 days, Joshua and his army were to march around the city one time. 7 priests were to be out in front carrying 7 trumpets, and then would come the Ark of the Covenant. On the 7th day, they were to march around Jericho 7 times. And on the 7th day, the 7 priests were to blow 7 trumpets as they marched around that walled city. The priests were to march in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant pictured God's presence. You say, why all those sevens? 7 is God's number of perfection or God's number of completion. When on the 7th day, the people heard the loud blast of the ram's horn, like much like we heard that trumpet tonight, all the people were to shout with a loud shout. Then God promised that the walls would come tumbling down. You say, that's a little bit different. God has a way of doing things a different way. Now, Joshua and his army followed God's instructions perfectly. 6 days they marched around the wall one time. On the seventh day they marched around the wall seven times. They had their trumpets. They had their shout. And I have to tell you, we've been telling the story for a long time. When they shouted as they were told to shout, God kept His promise and the walls just collapsed. And God brought them victory. What a miracle. Victory for God's people. What a victorious moment in history. That battle went down in history. And it should have gone down in history. They attempted something big for God, and God brought them through it with a great victory. Well, folks, never forget this. Christian people are winners. We're on the winning side. We're to be champions for Christ, and we ought to want to win in the battle between good and evil. I think churches are to be victorious, not victims, but victorious. I'm always worried when I walk into a church and it reminds me of a funeral home, and everybody's sad and everything's down, and there's not a lilt of excitement and victory. And I realize we all have our burdens and we all have our challenges, but wait a minute. The Church of Jesus Christ is a tool of God's to bring victory to God's people. And I think churches are to be victorious. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us so. So we're not just to conquer, we're going to be more than conquerors. We're running a race. We're running the Christian race. And we ought to run it with an effort to put our best foot forward. And we ought to strive for excellence, and we ought to want to win the race. We're fighting a war. And we got into this war for our mighty captain, Jesus Christ, and I think He wants us to have victory in that war. God's people are not to be, they're not to be passive about serving God, but they're to be aggressive about serving God. So, I think God wants you and I to have victories. Thank God for the story of Joshua and this wonderful story of the Battle of Jericho. But you have to remember something, folks. God, the God that you and I serve is the very same God that Joshua served. And God gave Joshua victory, and God can give you victory. Maybe one of the ways of putting it is God is for you and I reaching new heights. He wants us to accomplish something. He wants us to go forward. Now, you have to bear with me for a moment. I started looking at a bunch of verses in the Bible, and when I did, I thought, boy, just all over the place, you see God encouraging you and I to strive for victory in life and to live the victorious Christian life. For instance, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Now here God said, I want you to do what you do and do it with your might. What's that mean? I'm to push myself. It looks to me like if somebody's going to push themselves, God's looking for somebody to have victory in their life. You don't usually push yourself so that you could come in last place. Usually you push yourself because you are striving for victory in life. I read in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse number 5. It says, "And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all the countries. And I therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. You know, here it says that God wanted their service and the place where God would serve to be a magnificent place and a place that exceeded other places. And then God wanted their service to be above average. What is that? I think God was saying, listen, you ought to want to live the victorious Christian life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but the exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Did you hear the words, "so much the more"? You know what that is? That wasn't less, it was more. So what's God saying? Give more. Move forward. Live the victorious Christian life. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 30, it says, "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." Here it's talking about Solomon. And what's he doing? He's excelling. And folks, you and I, we ought to excel. We ought to be moving forward. We ought to want to have victory. We ought to want to conquer for the cause of Christ. And so, we see again the victorious Christian life. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 24, it says this, But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their own evil heart. And they went backward and not forward. Let me explain. The people here in the book of Jeremiah that are going backward and not forward, they're getting in trouble for it. They're not being praised for it. You see, God wants you and I to go forward, not backward. Why? Because He wants us to live a victorious Christian life. God doesn't want you to put it in reverse. He wants you to put it in drive. If you look in the book of Ephesians where the whole armor of God is described to us, and you look at that armor that's placed on the body of the Christian, one thing that a lot of people miss out, there is no armor provided for your back. You say, why? Because God expected you and I to be going forward. He wants us to move forward, keep moving in our Christian life, keep going forward. Hey, I have an uncle, and he got a couple of Purple Hearts. But it's funny to hear him tell the story. When he was at war, he tells a story of when he got shot in the backside one time. And he told me, he said, yep, I was running, and he said it was scary. And I got shot, and I paid my price for running. But he got his Purple Heart getting shot in the back. Now, to me, that's a, you know, obviously, I've not been there, and I've not been through it. But I'd rather get shot someplace else. But listen, I hope you don't come and say, preacher, the devil, he shot me in the back. You're not to be running. We're to stand our ground and keep moving forward. Keep serving God. Don't give up. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Folks, we are to give ourselves wholly to what we do. And then it even says that we will have profiting, and that profiting will appear to all. What's God saying? There's a life that I want you to live, and it's a victorious life. It's a life of going forward. It's a life of conquering. It's not a life of going backward. We're putting it in drive, not in reverse. Folks, as I go through the Bible, just verse after verse after verse is constantly God saying to the Christian, take another step. Hey, it doesn't always have to be a big step, but take another step. Take a baby step. Take a half step. Get up. Get moving. Don't sit there. Don't rot. Don't die. Move. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. I'm going to tell you something. That's what God wants. I think God does that because He loves us. God knows what's best for us. I was reading in Luke chapter 17, and I stumbled across verse number 10. The Bible says this, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. What I want to point out here is God is recommending that we do all that we're supposed to do. And folks, if you and I will do all that we're supposed to do, I'm going to promise you something. We're going to see the battle of Jericho and the miracles that we need in our lives to survive. Because look, God could only ask us to do what we can do, and then God will do the rest. But I'll tell you why some of you are not experiencing some victories in your life. You're not doing all that you could do. Now, God's not going to require you to do what you cannot do, but God can require you to do what you can do. And if you'll do what you can, then God can kick in and He can take care of the rest. But make sure that you're moving forward. I read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, where the Bible says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Notice somebody's growing. What is that? They're moving forward. They're adding to. They're not going backwards. They're striving for something. What is it? It's victorious Christianity. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Notice God is saying, increase yourself, move forward, better yourself,
try a little more. Give of yourself a little more. Accomplish a little more. What is that? God's recommending that we strive for victory in our Christian life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." What's that mean? I'm always moving forward. I'm abounding. I'm increasing. I'm adding. I'm trying to move forward. I'll tell you something, folks. The best thing in your life is that you keep growing and keep going and keep moving and keep striving and keep trying to go forward. Can I tell you something? In war, you want to be a little bit careful. You ever heard the term a setting duck? Now, you don't want to become a setting duck for the devil. Keep moving and keep going forward for the Lord. God wants us to move forward. God is for our growth. God is for our growth spiritually and emotionally. He wants us to grow. Oh, there's some wonderful songs in the songbook. I love that song, "I Want That Mountain." I want that mountain. And I love to hear the words where he said, "It belongs to me." That was somebody that said, "I'm going to climb that mountain. I don't know how hard it'll be. I don't know how long it'll take, but I want to climb that mountain. And I'm claiming it right now. I'm going to get to the top of that mountain." Boy, you need to think that way. What do you face right now? What is it that seems to be holding you down? I'll tell you what you might need. You might need a little bit of an attitude adjustment. You say, "But Pastor, under these circumstances, what in the world are you doing under the circumstances?" Christian, get on top of those circumstances. Your God's bigger than that. You can do this. You can make it. You can take it. Get moving. Don't lay there and play dead. Keep moving. Hey, listen, we sing the song, "Onward Christian Soldiers." Notice the words are not "backward Christian soldiers." No, it's "onward." Notice the words are not "sideward Christian soldiers." No, it's "onward." Notice it's not "downward Christian soldiers." It's "onward." I might even throw in, it's not "coward Christian soldiers." It's "onward." Listen, as you go through the Bible, you're going to read verse after verse after verse, God is saying to you and I as born-again Christians, let's go have victory. Let's strive for victory. Let's be on and behave like we're on the winning side. Well, with that much scripture about this, God also gives us some wonderful examples. There's some great examples in the Bible. Now, so you all know, God did not give us the examples of the victorious Christians in the Bible, so we had something for story time as we all get around the story rug in the nursery. God gave us the stories to say to you and I, that's available to you. For instance, I think Peter on Pentecost was victorious. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls." In verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Do you realize there were 3,000 people saved and baptized on one day? It had never been done before, but God was for it, and it happened. And I hate to tell you, but Peter went down in God's Guinness World Book of Records that day. And you know what? Peter had victory. Peter had a big victory because Peter tried to have a big victory. Folks, God gives us examples in the Bible for a reason. I happen to believe this. I happen to believe the very same God that was the God of that New Testament church in Jerusalem is the God of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. And I think if God could do a miracle for them, God could do a miracle for us. And so I'm for victory in the Christian life, and so is God. I think about Samson. Samson has a tremendous victory, and to be honest, it's all the way at the end of his life in a Colosseum. Let me tell you a little bit about the story. In Judges chapter 16, verse 30, it says, "And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." Samson was a fighter, and he was a fighter for the cause of Christ. He was known as a mighty warrior who conquered many of God's enemies, the Philistines. But he goofed up. He lost his power to Delilah. As a result of that, they captured him. They put out his eyes. They humiliated him. They took him captive. He was chained like an animal to a grinding mill. But he got his heart right with God. And he kept getting close to God as he's chained to that mill. He ends up in a Colosseum, chained to some of the big pillars in that Colosseum. And God granted him the power to make a comeback. And you know what he did? He took it. He took it. You see, he was a champion. He had fallen. But God gave him a chance for a comeback. And Samson, he said, you know what? All my strength is coming back. And the Bible says, in that day, he killed as many of the enemies in one day as he had killed in his entire life. Let me tell you the difference between Samson and you. God offers you a comeback, but you're not going to take him up on it. You're going to whine, and you're going to feel sorry for yourself. And you're going to say, I'm beat. You're not beat till you're dead, buddy. If you're alive, if you're sucking air, God still has something for you to do. And what you ought to do is say, I'm going to get up out of this mess, and I'm going to have victory. You see, Samson had victory, and boy, it was later on in life. But boy, did God give him a dose of victory at the end. He went out with a ball of fire, and I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he went out in a big way. Peter had a great victory. Samson had a great victory. I love this next guy. His name is Caleb. Caleb had a victory at the age of 85. In Joshua chapter 14, verse number 12, by the way, the Caleb in the Bible, this one's normal. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 12 mentions this Caleb. It says, now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Here, God gives Caleb Mount Hebron as an inheritance. In verse number 11 it says, as yet as I am strong this day as I was in the days Moses sent me. This man, I want you to understand, he is 85 years of old age. He is looking at a mountain and he said, I want that mountain. And when he took off after that mountain, I think he left a bunch of the young whippersnappers behind. And Caleb said, that's my mountain. I want that mountain. And he went after that mountain. He said, he didn't say, we will drive out the enemy. You know what he said? I will drive out the enemy. Now you got to picture this 85-year-old man. Boy, you talk about a feisty old bird. 85. He didn't say, me and all my buddies are going to take that mountain. You know what he said? I'm going to take it. You see, I think he was vain. I think he was confident in the Lord. I think he knew that he had a great God. I think he knew that the devil was trying to get him down. I think he knew there was still victory. Look, you don't have to be 20 to have victory in life. You can be 60 and have victory in life, and 70 to have victory in life, and 80 to have victory in life. So the best advice I could give some of you gray hairs is this. Don't roll over and play dead. If you want to keep on going, you're going to have to keep on moving, and you're going to have some new goals in life. Hey, you may have retired from work. Don't retire on life. Don't retire on God. Keep on going. If you stop using it, you'll lose it. Keep moving forward. Look for victory in life. 85 years of age, that man said, I want that mountain. It belongs to me. I'm going to get what God has for me. You know what? Why don't all of us decide all the way to the day we take our last breath, we are going to possess every victory that God will make available to us. I really think some of us are going to get to heaven and you're going to find out there were some magnificent things that God had available to you. You just didn't capitalize on the opportunity. You were putting it in neutral and reverse when God wanted you to put it in drive and put the pedal to the metal and go do something. Keep your life moving. Hey, the Apostle Paul, he was a man of great victory. Paul was, what an avid soul winner Paul was. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, it says this, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Let me explain. Paul was out telling people about Jesus Christ, and he said, for 3 years, without exception, I witnessed to every person that I came in contact with. Wow. Now, if this were me telling this story, I would exaggerate it. If this were you telling the story, you could exaggerate it. But this is in the Bible. And he said, night and day, without exception, I told everyone I came in contact with, I told them about the gospel. Wow. In other words, it was his goal to help every person he met to know about Jesus Christ and to be born again. I think the Apostle Paul was striving to accomplish something excellent with his life. Now look, if the Apostle Paul could say, I'm going to witness to every single person I make contact with, and he does it over a 3-year period, I guess you could witness to somebody sometime this month. Look at what he did. But Paul is a man of great victory. Why? He strove for victories. Did you know that if you shoot at little things, you'll probably accomplish little things? Might be a good idea to shoot at something a little bigger. I was thinking of Nehemiah and how victorious he was in his building. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Here's somebody that, when it says they had a mind to work, you know what that meant? They wanted to have victory. They wanted to finish something. They wanted to make something happen. They didn't want to just be spectators in life. They wanted to be participators in life. They didn't want to hear everybody else tell their stories of victory, and all they could do is be part of the audience. Someday they wanted to be one telling about their victory and what God did with them and how God helped them in life and how God met their need in life. And Nehemiah and God's people were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, and they faced great opposition. Matter of fact, the opposition was so bad, while they had a tool in one hand, they had their sword in the other. And when the opposition would come to fight, they would use their sword and fight. The opposition would run, and they'd go back to working on their wall. That's how determined they are. It doesn't mean they moaned and groaned for 2 weeks after the opposition came. No, they turned right around and went right back to work. Now get back up and conquer whatever it is that's trying to slow you down or stop you, and keep on building for God. They faced discouragement, but they went forward during that time of discouragement. And I'll just tell you, folks, I'll tell you, if you are facing discouragement and you don't keep moving forward, you're just going to get further and further behind. You say, I'm swamped. It's just all falling in on me. Keep on moving. You might be crushed. Keep on moving. Keep on working. That's what God wants. I was thinking about Ezekiel. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. Ezekiel finds himself in a victorious situation in a place called the Valley of Dry Bones. Let me read to you from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 7 and 8. It says this, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Here's the story. There was a valley known as the Valley of Dry Bones. It was full of nothing but human bones. God told Ezekiel, Ezekiel, I want you to go down there and preach to those dry, dead bones. You say, why? He was preparing Ezekiel to be a pastor. Because sometimes while you're preaching, you wonder if everybody out there is half dead. God said, I want you to go down there, Ezekiel, and I want you to preach to those old dried up bones. And then God said, I'll bring those bones back together. And so Ezekiel, the Bible, he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. He went down and he started preaching. And he preached. And he preached. And the Bible says the bones out there in those piles begin to shake and rattle. Now this is where Ezekiel and I are different. He kept preaching. You say, what would have you done, preacher? I would have ran. But the bones began to shake. And you know what happened? The Bible says that the bones began to search each other out until a bone found its connecting bone, and it began to form human beings. And now you watch things on scary movies and some of the stuff coming out of Hollywood, of which none of it is true. But if God put it in the Bible, it's true. This really happened. So Ezekiel is preaching in the Valley of Dry Bones. The bones start moving. The bones search each other out. And before long, the bones are actually forming human beings. God then forms these skeletons. He puts skin on them. And God said, I have just provided you with an army. You know what? He had victory because of that. I'm just amazed at that story. You say, Pastor, I don't think I have what it takes to see victory in the future. How do you think Ezekiel felt? He had nothing. I mean, he's pretty well in the negative on this dry bone business. Now, if he went and seen his financial counselor and he talked to him and said, well, what are you going to do to get out of your hole here, Ezekiel? Ezekiel said, well, all I've got are these dry bones. The financial counselor probably said, we're not going to get anywhere with that. What are you going to do, Ezekiel? Ezekiel said, I'm going down there to preach to him. And the counselor said, Pastor, I think you need counseling. I think you're going to need some emotional help. You're beginning to lose it. But Ezekiel did as God commanded. Ezekiel did what he could. Ezekiel stayed faithful to the word of God. And God said, I can take it from there. Ezekiel, you move forward as much as you can, and then I can help with the rest. And he did. The Bible is full of victorious people. Peter was victorious on Pentecost. Samson was victorious in that Colosseum. Caleb was victorious in climbing that mountain. Paul was victorious in his soul winning. Nehemiah was victorious in rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. Ezekiel was victorious in the dry bones. But not only that, Abraham was victorious. And Queen Esther was victorious. And Joseph was victorious. And Daniel and the lion's den was victorious. Elijah was victorious. Josiah was victorious. David was victorious against Goliath. Lydia was a victorious lady, and Gideon was victorious. Elisha was a very victorious man. Let me tell you something, folks. God wants you and I to be victorious. He wants us to strive to go forward. I'm going to take 5 more minutes and the sermon will be over. I'd like to challenge you about a couple of very quick areas that you ought to be victorious. And the first one is this. I wish we'd become victorious in regard to reading our Bibles. You say, oh, Pastor, I thought we were going to conquer the world after that setup and that all that you just said. You won't conquer the world without the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm going to tell you why a bunch of you are not victorious. Because you won't read your Bible. So you're spiritually out of fuel. If you want victory in the Christian life, you've got to get into the book that's all about victory. So, could I say, I want to challenge you to become victorious in your Bible reading. Get that book out and read it. Read it every day. And read. You say, how long should I read it? You better read it until it begins to mean something to you and something begins to transpire inside you. But I wish that we would be victorious in our Bible reading. Not only that, I wish we'd become victorious in our prayer lives. Most Christians pray almost as if they're atheists. When was the last time you had a prayer answered? Let's become victorious in our prayer lives. Look, if all that you can do about your situation is pray, how much of it are you doing? Let's become victorious. There are people in here, you used to pray on a regular basis. You don't anymore. You don't. Let's have victory in our Bible reading. Let's have victory for God in our prayer life. I think some of you need to have victory in your life, in your giving. I think there are people in here, you need to get some victory in your life about telling others about Christ, witnessing, being a soul winner. There's some of you, you desperately need to get victory over some of the sins in your life. I'm not trying to hurt you, I love you, and I'm your friend, but I need to tell you, it's time for some of you to overcome that besetting sin that you've been dealing with for years. It's the same old thing. Don't you think it's time to get victory in that area? So I'm not sure it's available. Well, you tell that to an 85-year-old Caleb. You tell that to David who faced a Goliath. And you tell that to Gideon, and you tell that to Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Don't you tell me victory's not available. The problem is, victory is made available, but we do not capitalize on the energy and the effort and the promises of God. You can have victory. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can give like you're to give. You can go soul winning. You can conquer your besetting sin. Have victory in your ministries. Have victory in helping people. I'm finished. I've got about 4 more pages to my outline, but I'm done. I like the song, "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." Hey, Christian, let's be victorious. God deserves that we strive to have victory. He's promised victory in our Christian life. Oh, I'm not saying that we're going to win everything and all the time, but I am going to promise you this. If we would strive for victory, we would hit it far more frequently. I think too often Christians become lax, lazy, uncommitted, and because of it, we don't have the victories that we could have. I wish for all of you, I really, really do, I wish for all of you some big spiritual victories. Tell you something, if you had a few big spiritual victories, some of you wouldn't be getting high anymore. You'd find out there is a spiritual high that outproduces anything the devil offers you. And that is watching the great God of the universe do supernatural things in your life, in your marriage, in your family, with your kids, in your ministry. Here's something that's sad. Some of you, you came from the party world. Boy, when you'd go partying, you would strive to party with the best of them. Then you got saved and got in the church. And you never give yourself like that to God. What would happen if you would give yourself to God like you used to give yourself on Friday night after you got your paycheck? You went to go out and party it away. What would happen? What would happen if we had a passion for God like we used to have a passion for the devil? Hey, victory is available. Let's enjoy it.